Hi, this is Ashley Gallagher from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus. The Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast provides the latest industry news and information, thought leader insights, clinical updates, patient counseling tools, and innovative solutions for the everyday practice and business of pharmacy. Today, we have a very special episode to help ring in American Pharmacists Month. Our very own Jill Murphy spoke with Public Health Matters host, Dr. Christina Madison, On the Shelf host, Dr. Joanna Lewis, and Dr. Brooke Griffin about all things pharmacy, including the importance of Women's Pharmacists Day and what they hope to see in the future of pharmacy. Enjoy!
Hello, this is Jill Murphy from Pharmacy Focus Podcast, and today we have a very special episode in honor of Women Pharmacists Day and also American Pharmacist Month. I have three very wonderful guests today who are here to help us and to talk about all different things with women pharmacy, professional development, and the future of pharmacy. So without further ado, I have Christina Madison, who is also the host of our podcast, Public Health Matters. I have Joanna Lewis, who hosts our On the Shelf podcast. And I also have Brooke Griffin here, but we're all going to have a little introduction. So Christina, would you like to go first?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me today, Jill. So again, as you mentioned, my name is Dr. Christina Madison, also known as the Public Health Pharmacist. I wear many hats, but during the day, I am an academician, and I am an associate professor of pharmacy practice with Roseman University of Health Sciences based out of Las Vegas, Nevada. I also have two active clinical practice sites, one at a family medicine clinic that caters to the LGBTQ community, and another, which is a free clinic that cares for uninsured in Las Vegas. And then my other job or hat that I wear, obviously, as you mentioned before, I am a podcast host and exclusive contributor to Pharmacy Times. But then I also have a consulting firm called the Public Health Pharmacist, where I provide technical assistance to health systems and other healthcare professionals, as well as being a healthcare media contributor and expert. So you may have seen me on your local television and or Good Morning America as of last month. So thanks.
Our little celebrity here on the panel. And what about you, Joanna?
Thank you, Jill. That intro was hard to follow, but my name is Joanna Lewis. I'm a pharmacist. During the day, I help manage like the pharmacy finance side of our institution. I work a lot with charges. I have my MBA. And then my passion project and what I really pour a lot of time into is my blog, which is The Pharmacist Guide. And also I am a podcast host, like you mentioned earlier, of On the Shelf, and that's through Pharmacy Times. We talk about skincare, supplements, over-the-counter products, anything on the shelf, and it's a wellness-focused podcast.
Love it. And lastly, Brooke.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for having me. My name is Brooke Griffin. I'm a professor of pharmacy practice at Midwestern University in Downers Grove, Illinois. I'm also a professional coach in life and work, and you can find out more at boldideagroup.com, where I offer one-on-one and group coaching programs. And I'm passionate about all things professional development. So excited to be here to talk about this important topic.
Awesome. I'm so excited to have everyone on the panel today. So I really wanted to jump right to it with Women Pharmacists Day. Why do you think it's so important for us to have this day? Does anyone want to go first with this?
Other than the fact that like close to 60% of all pharmacy grads are women, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, ultimately, our profession traditionally was mostly male up until, I would say, and I'm sure Brooke can probably fact check me on this, probably mid-80s, late 90s was when we started really seeing a shift in the type of graduates we're seeing. So not just gender-based, but also minorities as well. And so I think part of the reason why we need to have a focus on women in pharmacy in particular is that we still don't have gender parity and or leadership parity, as well as pay equity as it relates to pharmacy and women within the pharmacy profession. So until we can get to a point where all pharmacists are paid the same and we have leadership roles that are equally available to all, I think we're going to have to continue to have a Women's Pharmacist Day to highlight some of those inequities and really focus on how we can move forward as a profession to make sure that we do have parity as it relates to leadership and pay. So that's why I think we need a Women's Pharmacist Day, not to mention the fact that I really love being able to celebrate, affirm, and really spotlight some incredible women working within pharmacy. So not just pharmacists, but pharmacy technicians and anyone working within the pharmacy space, just because we are one of the most underutilized professions. And I think women inherently take a lot of that on, especially as we are not only working in pharmacy, but are often heads of household and are also primary caregivers and mothers.
Yeah, I think Christina hit the nail on the head. I think we give all day long. We serve all day long, patients, families, and that feeling of not being recognized and not being valued is even louder post or as we exit the pandemic. So I think for me, celebrating Women Pharmacists Day allows us to put a spotlight on who's in the lab coat, who is she, and what's important to her, and how can we support her? So that's what it means to me.
I'll piggyback back on what Christina Brooks said. One of the things, like you all said, like women, especially with the pandemic, it's really highlighted like all the gaps that we have and all the cracks. And for me, Women's Pharmacist Day not only helps raise awareness about equality, pay differences and things like that, but just that we are these caregivers. We need to take the time for ourselves, and we need to really this appreciation, not only give it out to others, but really kind of like see ourselves as the heroes in all this. Like we really are doing a lot, and we really need to just kind of prioritize our well-being through all of this.
Those were all such, oh, sorry. Did you want to go?
I was just going to say, I feel like you guys are both my superheroes. So I just want to acknowledge that, because I know that you guys do so much. And yeah, I mean, even just, I mean, obviously we can gush and and compliment each other for the next hour, but just really wanted to say, you know, Brooke, like even just having an opportunity to work with you within a professional organization and then seeing, you know, all of the things that you do outside of that leadership role and then being able to connect with you, not just as a colleague, but also a friend. When I was personally having some challenges with my professional development and then you really just being super like real and raw and authentic and talking about like challenges that you've had, and then not just offering, you know, the chance to commiserate, but then also offering solutions. And then Joanna, I mean, I know you just work so hard when it comes to having this forward-facing presence that is also very authentic on social media. And as we see, you know, more and more people getting into the social media space, but it really not being reflective of real life and being more like airbrushed and perfect. I really appreciate the fact that you talk about when you have challenges or talk about, you know, when, you know, you've had a hard day or right now when we're trying to record a podcast and your children are trying to jump on top of you because they love their mom so much. Like that is just incredible. And I wanted to take a moment to tell you guys both how much you have meant just for me personally. And so as much as, you know, I think it's an opportunity to highlight, you know, sort of who's in the coat, which I love, Brooke, and like, who is she? I also want to take a moment to recognize individuals, because we are only as good as our tribe and the people who we surround ourselves with and are closest to. So just wanted to take a moment to say that and to acknowledge you and to say thank you.
Oh, thank you, Christina. I feel the same way about you both and have loved all of our interactions in previous circles and groups and organizations. And I feel like Women Pharmacist Day also reminds me of all the women who blazed trails before us. And it may not have been the exact paths that we're taking now, but because they had the confidence to do so and try something new and fall down and get up 1,000 times, even though we're not doing the exact same trails they're doing, it's helping us in our endeavors today. So perhaps even just hearing some of our story today might inspire someone to blaze a completely new trail that we haven't even thought of or discovered yet. So that's why I love getting all of us together just to talk about some of our journeys. So thank you again for having this forum.
No, and I just, when I think about how inspiring both of you are to me, thank you both for saying all that. What I also love is I've met both of you through social media. It's not necessarily through the pharmacy network, and all of the pharmacy focused people that I've met through social media have been some of the most inspiring people that I've met. I've never felt like this competition or someone trying to outperform or get some brand before the other. Like, I've seen a lot of sharing. I've seen a lot of collaboration. And I really just love that about, to me, social media and us blazing these trails that, to be honest, like, especially at the beginning, even now, it's very hard because there isn't a, like you said, there isn't a guidebook, right? No one's social media, pharmacy, healthcare, and social media is very new. And people are taking it a lot of different directions. And I love that we can all be our unique individual and still be successful in that space and support each other. So
I'm loving all this energy and the love you're all giving each other. This is what we need for Women in Pharmacy Day and in the world. So thank you. We need more people like you guys. And I wanted to go off of all these great points you made and ask, is there a specific way you're celebrating Women Pharmacist Day this year? Anyone?
So I'm just, I have a blog post coming out and just some content. Like, individually, I think it's just kind of, like I said earlier, focusing on being the best person I can be and trying to inspire others. I also think a great thing about pharmacists, Women's Pharmacist Day, is we can raise awareness. So the pharmacy profession, because I think we're women and we just like power through, I don't think there's never been a lot of bells and whistles around what we do. And just with my friends and family, all the questions they ask me, I try to answer those questions on social media, because I know if they're asking those, everyone's asking those. But those are my plans. How about you all?
Yeah, for me, I love seeing all the inspirational posts on social media. So even though I may not have something to share that day or a photo from something I'm doing, it takes zero money to like, share, contribute, comment to what everyone else is posting. So I love all the pictures of people in the pharmacy. I love the pictures of men supporting women on Women Pharmacist Day. I love the pictures of leaders supporting their women staff members. So I just think it's really important to just keep this message and keep it kind of top of the feed. So that's what I'll be doing.
So for me, I plan to reach out to at least 10 other women pharmacists and to remind them how amazing they are and that they're kicking butt and they're taking names and they're killing it and all the other things you can say, right? I don't know why we say that about when things are going well, we're like have to kill something or murder something. I'm not sure where that comes from. Anywho, I think it comes from the comedy world. There's a lot of that from the comedy space. If you do really well, you're killing it. But yeah, I think my goal is just to uplift and to affirm other women pharmacists, and really to remind, people that I know in, that are in my orbit that have really helped me to succeed, how much they've meant to me and how, their sacrifices and their, knowledge and skills has helped me to succeed. And, I think, again, going back to the points that, both Brooke and Joanna have made, is this thought process around making sure that people feel appreciated, making sure that people feel acknowledged. Because let's be honest, we in general don't like to toot our own horn, but I am here to tell you that that needs to change, and it needs to change on a global scale, not just within the little tiny ecosystem that is in, that is pharmacy, but it really needs to be, you know, on a much bigger and grander scope. So there should be on every local television station, there should be a story about Women's Pharmacist Day, and they should be highlighting a women's pharmacist and talking about why women in pharmacy are so important, why we're more empathetic, why we tend to do better in crisis, all of the things, right? So, you know, that's my goal. My goal is to really not just get to the point where it's just an acknowledgement within our profession, but that others know more about the unsung and untapped resource of pharmacies and pharmacists, and in particular, women pharmacists, which many, many studies have shown do a better job of leading and do a better job of fostering and maintaining employees.
Awesome. And I'm so excited to see all of your contributions on Women Pharmacist Day. So this is super exciting. I kind of wanted to go towards something that I think Brooke should start off with here, with professional development. So I know that a big thing that you guys have been speaking about is developing your profession as a woman, especially in the field. Brooke, you can start this. What is the best investment that you've made in your professional development and for others to do, you think?
Yeah, this is such a great question, because my mind immediately went to what did I do, or what did I buy, or what did I go to? But when I really sat back and thought about how I would answer this question, I think the best investment I made for myself was being willing to ask for help and then accept help and really cultivate my sense of self-concept. You know, who am I? What are my gifts? What do I want to do in this world? Because it took me a really long time to figure out what makes me tick and what lights me up. And so through the help of coaches and mentors and sponsors, I started to cultivate a sense of who I am and what do I want to do next. And it was really taking a breath and taking a pause, without any pause in my work, but just allowing myself a chance to take a deep dive into self-reflection, which is not easy stuff. But through the help of others, which is sometimes hard for us to accept, I've come on the other side, like with a better idea of who I am and where I want to go. So the best investment is doing sometimes the hardest thing, asking for help and then accepting it.
Yeah, I agree with Brooke in the sense that, like, immediately I thought, like, what was the big, you know, the extra credential that I took, or the extra tests. But really, for me, it was getting honest with myself and understanding that, you know, my current pharmacy path, it didn't light me up. It wasn't what I thought I wanted to or needed to do. And really, even though I didn't have all the answers, I still don't have all the answers, giving myself kind of taking that first step on the journey. And I don't know if you know that quote that talks about, like, the man in the arena. I think Brené Brown says it a lot. Like, that really resonates with me, like, and being willing to fail. So, like Brooke said, I've worked with, you know, I've, you know, read a lot of books. I've taken these classes. I've worked with a coach here and there. Not every one of those investments per se led me to where I thought I wanted to be. And some would even say, oh, that was a bad idea. Maybe you shouldn't have paid a couple hundred dollars to whatever, talk to this person. But I will say, each time I did something like that, it gave me more clarity on what I needed to do. So I don't think anything was necessarily a bad investment. The other, again, because I am very wellness focused, the other biggest investment I've made is, you know, my life only will get busier for all of you and for anyone listening, you know, whether you have children, not have children, just however your career takes you. And just understanding kind of what makes me tick with wellness. How much sleep do I need a night? What is the best nutrition for my body? How much exercise do I need to feel energized? That would be the other, I would say, best investment I've made.
So I'm going to go on a complete different plane and say professional photography. It's like the best investment I've ever made in my career, because I'll tell you, when you get asked to go on, you know, webinars and panelists and all these things, the first thing they ask you for is your bio and your headshot. And It's like having that ready to go, it makes such a difference. Having a professional looking website, like 100%, am positive that that's how I got asked to be on Good Morning America. Like, those are the kinds of investments, like whatever your forward facing impression is, and your digital footprint and your personal brand, that is huge. And so I spent a lot of time making sure that that was consistent with my own personal mission and my own personal vision for how I saw myself and how I wanted to help my community. I made sure I took the time to trademark my name. I hired an entertainment attorney. Like, I made sure that when I started my consulting business, I hired help. So like, those are some of the things that I would obviously, like, not everybody needs, you know, a full team and a compliment and people on retainer and all of that stuff, or a professional photographer to follow you around. But even just investing in new headshots at least every 18 months, I think, is kind of the bare minimum. And then making sure that you have an up-to-date LinkedIn profile and that your digital footprint is consistent with what work you want to either get or the work that you're currently doing.
Those are all extremely good points. Joanna, did you want to add something?
I was just going to add, like, what you said about professional headshots. That kind of brings me back. I think I've done a couple photo shoots for that exact reason, but there were a couple that I got, I was like, ugh, you know, maybe I should have given better direction to the people. But again, like, I learn each time. So, you know, you live, you learn through this process.
The other thing too, and obviously, like, looking at that kind of investment, obviously you want to make sure that you are working with somebody who is going to give you the best investment for your money. But I always ask, you know, like, where the space is. I tend to use co-working spaces that have multiple venues. And then I always bring more than one outfit. And then you get a lot of different photos versus just one photo if you're going into a studio. So location matters, outfits matter, and then asking if they already have somebody that can do hair and makeup for you, that's always nice too, because if it's already included, then you have somebody that can kind of help you with that and fix you if needed, you know, if they need to go in and tweak some things. And so the other thing too is bartering. So I know that sounds kind of a little bit interesting, but, like, you know, back in the day when we used to do things on apprenticeship, you would barter for your services. So when I was first starting out and couldn't really afford to do all of these things, I bartered for my services. So I helped with some social media, and then I got photography for free, or I was a model for things, and then they used my photography, and then I got free photos. So just, you know, there's always a will, there's a way, right? So obviously it's an investment, and it's an investment in your professional brand, but I think there's a way to do it without having to break the bank. And I do definitely want to make sure that people know that, like, we do not do all of this stuff by ourselves. Like, we ask for help. Like, I fully, like, am committed to asking for help. Like, you mentioned Brené Brown. I'll talk about Mel Robbins. There are certain things that, like, should just be, like, if you are going to go into entrepreneurship, if you're going to do anything beyond sort of, like, the community pharmacy or hospital pharmacy job, like, you need to do something within the professional development space. So that's, you know, Brené Brown, that's learning to lead, that's, you know, listening to podcasts, that's, you know, reading things like Atomic Habits. And, you know, there's so many different books that, like, for professional development, like, I've just been, like, a rapid consumer of these things. And I'm just like, man, I really wish somebody had told me about this a long time ago. Or, you know, like, you can get from point A to point B, but it might take you a lot longer if you don't hire a coach, or if you don't hire, like, what I like to call a Sherpa, right? Like, I need a Sherpa. Do you need a Sherpa? I need a Sherpa. Like, I need somebody to help me to navigate this freaking mountain. Like, so.
These are all such great points, and I hope that our listeners really take all of your great advice for their own professional development. And I know that we were talking a lot about the past and how women were in the past and how things were in pharmacy. So I want to think about really the future. Where do you guys see the future of pharmacy from this point on?
Well, obviously, I have very specific opinions about this, but where I see the profession is being able to practice at the top of their licensure and be able to provide direct patient care services. I think we're really at an inflection point right now where we can either take four steps back or we can take a quantum leap forward. And I'm hoping and hopeful towards the quantum leap forward. And part of that is based on all of the different scope of practice extensions that we've been able to have during the pandemic. And it's like, if it's good enough for COVID, why isn't it good enough for everything else? And so for me, I've really been focusing on making some of the provisions that were implemented by the PrEP Act permanent. So, you know, there was a letter that was sent out by Secretary Javier Becerra, basically saying that, you know, regardless of whether or not the declaration, the emergency declaration of the pandemic ends, that all of those provisions will be in effect until October of 2024. I don't want to see those end in October of 2024. So I think everybody should be working towards legislative change to make sure that at least at minimum, the expanded scope of practice that we have right now under public health and under the PrEP Act continue beyond that point. But really, we need to take it the next step further, which is allowing pharmacists to really be able to be utilized at the top of their licensure. So my hope is that we will all be providing direct patient care, and not only providing it, but getting paid.
Yeah, those are great points. Traditionally, when you think about pharmacy roles, you tend to follow the meds. A mentor once told me, follow the meds, you'll find a pharmacist. And traditionally, pharmacists have been where meds have been. And I think the future will be also where meds aren't. So we're starting to see pharmacists enter roles where there's no meds in the building. They're working in data analytics. They're working for skincare lines. They're working for very unique roles in pharmaceutical industry without any dispensing roles, but not even any meds on site and no really attachment to the medication use process. So the further we get from the medication use process means more diversity in our roles and perhaps more impact and influence on the use process when it actually gets to the patient. So I see more roles in advocacy and more roles in government affairs, more roles in pharma and social media, and all of the new companies that you're seeing pop up that pharmacists can be involved in. My hope is that there's also more attention and more action on diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. I mean, not just attention to it, but like some real action so that people feel heard. And I also want more attention and more action on labor issues and management training, because we're seeing our frontline pharmacists facing both of these issues every single day. So more attention and more action, I think, would also benefit us really greatly.
Yeah, I see a lot of, you know, when I was in pharmacy school, there was really like two routes to go, right? You go to retail or you go to hospital, and then there's the lucky few that break into pharma. And, you know, there was always a lot of mystery around these other roles. And I really see now is like us being able to have more direction in our career and kind of control our career a lot more. We're not necessarily pinpointed in one of those areas. Those areas are great. And I think we all need to kind of figure out what we want for ourselves. And I think we have the ability, we have the knowledge, we have the skills, the soft skills, and the actual knowledge to make whatever we want happen. I know that sounds, you know, almost too good to be true, but I've worked in hospital pharmacy for about 10 years. My retail friends, I have a little retail experience, and even back then it was, to me, I thought it was pretty rough. So my colleagues in retail, I really think hospital too, but like with what Christina and Brooke said about advocacy, we really need to switch our mindset from this passive, we're a passive profession. We are worried about backlash. We're worried about getting fired. We're worried about all this stuff. We really need to switch from this passive profession being emotional and how we internalize things and really just kind of like blaze our trail forward as a profession. Work together. I think the pharmacist mom groups, and there's some other groups that are really good at kind of mobilizing people together to do this kind of stuff. But, you know, in hospital pharmacy, luckily I haven't seen a lot of the challenges. I do think I've worked in 3 or 4 different hospitals. They've always been very friendly to pharmacists, letting us develop new roles. We have, you know, ID, we have a lot of specialty roles. I've always felt valued in a hospital. I've always felt like I got paid very well in a hospital. We got raises. I've always felt maybe we were understaffed from time to time, but there was always a plan to address that. I've always kind of felt appreciated. You know, I do felt like my management, we always had one-on-ones. If I had a concern, it was addressed. I don't think that is across the board though. And I think that should be, you know, like I have my MBA. So good leadership, if you want your corporation to succeed, you have to take care of your employees. You know, if you want productive people, you have to take care of them. I think that's just kind of, we need more pharmacists in the actual leadership roles for any of these corporations too.
Anything related to healthcare, anything that's medication intensive, pharmacists should be in charge of. Right? We may not be diagnosticians, but if I have a known diagnosis and it requires medication to treat, I should be involved, right? And by I mean any pharmacist. And really thinking about expanding the scope of pharmacy technicians as well. I mean, there's so much of their role that they can do the dispensing so that we can work on the cognitive skills and the, you know, medication, you know, deprescribing and the providing technical assistance and, you know, really being that healthcare expert that, you know, we went to school for and now mostly have either been residency trained or double residency trained and now triple board certified and credentialed. I mean, if you think about all of the different, I mean, I'm thinking and I'm looking at Brooke right now because Brooke has a lot of letters behind her name. because like, seriously, like if you think of all the different things that we do in order to get validation, because I really think that that's what it is. It's a means for validation because there's no like equally accepted ruler to judge pharmacy and pharmacists by. Because, you know, a lot of times when you see healthcare providers opting not to work with our profession, it's because, oh, well, I worked with one pharmacist and they weren't the same, right? Or like, you know, I don't understand what's the difference between a pharmacist and a clinical pharmacist. Part of it is because we've done just a really crappy job at PR for the profession, right? Nobody knows what we do or they know what we do. What was that?
We're always stuck in the basement of the hospital.
Yeah, we're always stuck in the basement, right? Like nobody either knows what we do or if they do know what we do, it's very cursory and not to the full understanding. Or like, you know, like you'll ask a question and they're like, oh, you do that? And I'm like, that's what I went to school for. Like, it just makes no sense.
This conversation has been so inspiring. And I know that all of our listeners will really take all of your great insights into consideration. And with our closing thoughts, I just wanted to ask if anyone had any open comments they wanted to add to anything we've talked about or anything about gender-based care or gender parity that I know Christina talked about before. Is there anything you wanted to add as a closing thought?
Well, I mean, I'll just be upfront. I think we don't get paid enough. I mean, I'm just going to call it out for what it is. I don't think we get paid enough. And when we are paid, we're undervalued. And I don't, you know, I'm not saying that in a crude way, you know, as a woman of color, there has been many aspects of my life where I feel like I've been challenged just to be able to be in the room, and that's not acceptable. And so, you know, kind of piggybacking on what Brooke said around equity and inclusion, there can't be equity if I'm not included. If I'm not in the room and I can't see anyone that looks like me, how can I even aspire to be in that role? So I feel like, you know, we have a long way to go for making sure that women feel valued and women feel like they can, you know, have these leadership roles. And, you know, a lot of times I'm making things up as I go because I don't have anyone to model after. And I think that that part of what is going on and that part of sort of the revolution and evolution of pharmacy is going to continue until we really truly have equity amongst our profession, and that everyone has a voice and feels heard.
Yeah, that's really well said, Christina. I can't add anything more. I just want to say I'm committed to be an ally, and just put that out to the group. What can you do today to be an ally?
Joanna, Christina, Brooke, this has been such an incredible panel, and thank you so much for joining us on Pharmacy Focus. And for all of our listeners out there, we just want to say Happy Women Pharmacists Day and also Happy American Pharmacist Month. I hope everyone knows that you are valued, and we do appreciate you all so much for all of your hard work you do. Ladies, thank you so much again. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we will be joined by another key opinion leader in the pharmacy space. Thank you.